You're good? It's 6 o'clock and it's time to start our meeting this evening, and we want to welcome all of you out to our city council meeting and appreciate all of you being here. We'll probably go through all the business and stuff first so that all of you can stay and know what's going on in the community. Would that be okay?
Okay.
That's what you came for? First of all, we're going to start with an invocation and a pledge of allegiance, and Darren's going to lead us in that.
Okay. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we've gathered here this time. We're thankful for these great young people in our town, and bless them as they finish up their high school and move on to further things in their lives. And we're so thankful for all that Thou blesses us with. We're thankful for the place that we're able to live, and bless that we might have guidance in making good decisions. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First of all, I want to congratulate all of you young people who are graduating. It's good to see that you completed all your requirements and are able to graduate. And yeah, your parents are excited about that too. So anyway, we are grateful that all of you filled out the papers for a scholarship, and as a community, we're really happy to be able to award those to you this evening. I know they did that at school the other night too, but we'll give you the certificates tonight. So as I read your names, come up to the front here. We have Isaiah Iverson, Asher Blair, Riley Hansen, Hannah Stout, and Emily Lisenby. Okay, we had Chief Nucitelli on as a presentation tonight, but apparently his daughter got in a car wreck and he's not going to be able to be here. So, and she's okay. So I think he'll probably give her a ticket. I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, next item on the agenda is a consent agenda. And this can be a single motion unless there's some discussion on that. Nobody wants to stay.
Congratulations.
We don't eat food and let you guys do the work. Thank you.
Got to catch.
Thanks for coming.
I would say.
Aren't you one of the graduating seniors, Henry?
Where do I get the money at? I didn't get the instructions.
You didn't qualify.
Dang.
You didn't meet the requirement.
We're much more interested in the money you're giving us.
Yeah.
Okay. This could be a single motion if someone would like to make the motion.
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda, including the declaration of conflict of interest, the agenda, meeting minutes of May 6, 2026, work and regular meetings, and checks and invoices in the amount of $503,078.32.
We have a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. John?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Darren?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Next item is a public hearing. The first public hearing will be for the fiscal year 2026-2027 budget. Before we open it to the public, we'll have Kyle just take a few minutes and explain the budget. In a quick hurry.
As we explained before, this time I'll just give the numbers one time, knowing that the budget revenue and the budget expense match for a balanced budget. General fund, $3,168,922 of revenue and expense. Fund 30, but debt service, $92,700. The water fund, $1,646,500. The sewer fund, $958,000. The irrigation fund, $157,500. The garbage fund, $388,500. The drainage fund, $282,000. The cemetery fund, $15,000. And the total overall budget for all funds that the city is involved with is $6,709,122. And just a side note, in the water fund, we are required now to put 5% into our savings account for future repairs and maintenance on the, and we budgeted that in. It's included in that. That totals to be just under $85,000 that will go into a savings account to be used for future repairs and
replacement.
As far as I'm concerned, anytime we do anything that's going to be new to the system, we can use that money.
It will be for replacement as well.
Replacement and repairs, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Everything else is pretty much the same as what we've talked about.
Okay. Well, we'll open it to the public for any comments on the budget for this upcoming year. Anybody like to make a comment?
Henry, you want to make a comment about some signs? Did you want to make a comment about some money set aside for some Steven signs? Okay.
Okay, if there's no comments, we'll close the public hearing. And the next public hearing is for the disposition of surplus property by the public or private sale. So, Derek, do you want to just take a quick minute and explain what we're going to dispose of?
Absolutely. We're asking to give the 1986 International Dump Truck that's salvaged. As you can see in those pictures, it doesn't have an engine, so we use the engine to replace the one in our other dump truck. So we just need to go through the process to get rid of it. We have 1984-86 John Deere grader, 1996 Ford bucket truck, a 2005 Chevy two-wheel drive, and a 2000 Bobcat that we are looking at surplusing.
Okay. All right, we'll open this up for public hearing. If anybody in the public would like to make any comments about the items that we would like to get rid of. If there's no comment, we'll close the public hearing. Okay. Next item is a business item, and that's a consideration and possible action to approve resolution 2026-08, accept the fiscal year 2026-2027 budget. Any comments from the council on the budget? Pretty much the same as what we've already gone over.
Yeah, and it seems like some of the things that we had talked about at the budget retreat a couple months ago was already in the works, so we'll have a little bit.
We took care of a lot of that stuff in our budget amendment this year.
Exactly.
Yeah. If there's no discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2026-08 to accept the fiscal year 26-27 budget.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Got a motion and a second. Aaron?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Next item is consideration and possible action to approve resolution 2026-09, a resolution declaring certain property to be surplus property and approving disposition by public or private sale. Any comments on this?
After looking at those pictures, I just want to say that it looks like you've definitely used them. So
that just shows how well we maintain them.
Yeah,
not so long.
Yeah, that they're not turning them over any too quick.
How did we use the bucket truck?
We were using it to hang up the Christmas decorations on the poles, and we're doing it for the trees and stuff when we have them here. But we were unaware that every year you have to go through the process of certifying the bucket truck, and the bucket's actually got issues, so it's not worth putting money into it. It runs, it operates, but just over there, keeping it up certified.
Is there a hole in your bucket, dear Liza?
Pardon?
Is there a hole in your bucket?
Well, there's a pretty good crack on the side of it, so I wouldn't get in there because I don't want to be the one splitting it.
Any other comments on no other comments, then consider a motion.
Mayor, I'll make the motion that we approve resolution number 2026-09, resolution declaring certain property to be surplus property and approving disposition by public or private sale.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. John?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yeah.
Micah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Next item is consideration of possible action to approve a conditional use permit for the Zion Hot Springs sign. Derek, do you want to take a few minutes and explain that to us?
Yeah, so Ron, GM for the Hot Springs, came to us and requested a animated, or I guess that's what you want to call it, animated. Signed some of that at the movie house there in Portland.
What's that? The movie theater.
Yeah, I knew there was a name for that.
Correct.
Just couldn't remember it. So that did not have any set agenda. It had to come before you as a city council as a conditional use, which means it has a little bit more flexibility in how it looks and where it sits. So the important thing, and I think you're making sure in this, is that there is a large building that the existing sign that's there now is too close, creates a visual block for traffic. So that sign actually is going to go away and move to the entrance.
Where you actually turn into the hot spring.
This other sign, which you'll have a map on, showing you, is going to sit back about another 10 feet from where the existing sign is, which we went out and measured out and combed and stuff, and it's going to open that whole entire visual corridor, especially if you try to turn.
Make the turn much easier, though. Yeah. So that does need a light, in my opinion, but that's a different topic, but it will make the turn easier.
The other thing with the sign is 35 feet. Our current ordinance allows 25 feet, but there is a provision there that says you can use the crown of the nearest road because of the elevation. You cannot find a grade that's unified throughout, so if you take the grade of the crown of the road versus where the sign's going to sit, that pretty much takes that additional couple of feet of the sign. And so we feel that that was going to create any problems. It does meet the night sky ordinance, as it does not reflect up. It does reflect out a little bit, but there's nothing in the night sky ordinance that prohibits
hit from coming out is going to be two-sided facing north and south, so the only places that would be impacted, if any, is impacted at all because of where it sits. It would be what is already currently businesses that's there. Like I said, you're already sitting back 30 feet, so it's going to pull off the highway. So it's not like, not really comparable to hurricanes, because hurricanes are right on the highway, right? So it's right there in your face. This one's going to be about 30 feet. So we didn't see any issues with this, and it's a big boost for the hot springs in order to advertise what they've actually got going there, drawn more business in, which will be beneficial to the city.
Any comments or questions?
I'd just be concerned, is this something that's going to kind of proliferate through the town? You know, we're going to have a lot of this, or is this kind of a one-time?
This is only the second one that I've done in 26 years. And the first one was the little one that, I don't know if you know, the farmer's market. Have there for, I don't know if it's still there or not, but they have there for a little while. I don't see this as being something that is going everybody's going to want to catch on and do. If we don't want to have it, then we need to have it addressed. And we're working on the site ordinance now and stuff right now. It is permitted through a conditional use, so you'd have to find a lot of good reason not to allow it. But if we want to try to limit it, then that would be another route we'd have to go at this point. But I don't see it becoming a big deal. I mean, 26 years to have two signs, I just don't see it.
Sure.
Any comment?
Yeah, I was going to say, also, kind of going off what you were saying, they didn't have the technology they have 26 years ago, or even 5-6 years ago. The brightness of the sign is still going to be an issue, even though there's the 30-foot setback. It doesn't fit with the area. I mean, the hot springs is beautiful. It itself fits in. It blends in. It fits very seamlessly. But having this huge sign that's bright and huge, especially if you're coming in at night, it's going to be blinding, it's going to be bright, and it's going to clash with the area. I think, I think it's too big, and I think it's going to be too bright, having that big sign. So I don't think it's going to be a good fit for the area.
Micah?
Just a couple of questions. Did this go to the, did it have to go to planning, or
no? Comes directly to you.
Comes directly to us, so. But it sounds like we don't currently have in our ordinance anything that prohibits.
No, it's actually permitted, but it doesn't give the stipulations that the other signs do, because that's why they make it come to you as a conditional use, so that if you feel that there are other things you want to add on to it, you have some flexibility to do so. But right now, those animated signs are permitted.
If I can interject something here, the law of conditional use has changed greatly over the past several years. And now, according to Utah State Legislature, if there's any way to mitigate any harmful effects of the proposed conditional use, then the city is obligated to do that. In other words, you can't just simply deny it because we don't like it, or because there's some detrimental effects. If there's any reasonable way to mitigate those detrimental effects, then we're obligated to find ways to mitigate that and approve the conditional use permit. So my question would be, are there any detrimental effects to the city or to neighboring property owners?
Again, this is my opinion. It means nothing. So just what my opinion on this, and knowing what Hurricane has, knowing what we've got, knowing where the setbacks are going to be sitting off so far, and the way that it's facing, it's not going to harm any residential. It would affect just the commercial that would be directed to the north and south of it, which to the north or to the south is all Hot Springs property for an additional 300 feet. So. Of course, that color's not going to radiate.
Have they submitted plans and specs for this?
That's all in the packet.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that they won't, if we grant this, they won't deviate and put up some.
Yeah, there's a map showing actual placement of it. And all the criteria. Personally, I, my opinion doesn't mean anything, but I just think we need, I don't find it offensive. I think we need to do what we can to help businesses that bring revenue into the city. But that's just my opinion.
Derek, yeah, can I ask you about this too?
So,
one.
Would you like to come up? Come
yeah,
up
like, because I think there's some misconceptions that were mentioned too. The brightness of the signs can be very humble compared to your actual parking lot brightness that we already have. So don't see that being as much an issue. It will catch your attention, and it will be flashing that kind of stuff. But what we've learned is that if you check our Google Maps, if you check our TripAdvisor, if you check our reviews, we're the highest rated attraction pretty much in the county. We're at 4.8. People love the facility, and they see it as a huge boost. Like, Laverkan's being talked about in a very positive manner for the tourism it's bringing, right? So I grew up on a 5-acre farm in Toledo, Washington, 500 people, right? We didn't have anything like that. We didn't have a community. We had 2,000 local members. And I thought that was going to be primarily, like, St. George. It's not. It's Hurricane, Laverkan, Tokerville. We're beloved, but we want to do more for the community, meaning, like, we're actually capturing way more locals, and we're capturing Las Vegas market. We're not actually capturing the Zagaguru, the tax dollars we want to come to this town. And why? The reason why is because they don't know what the experience is. And they don't know the experience is as beautiful as when you walk down and see it. And you know how you solve that? You solve that with a video screen. I would have never been a component or a believer in this video screen if I had not seen the one in Hurricane, which I believe is a beautiful sign. A lot of people see it as aesthetically appeasing. So my thought process is I understand, like, hey, we don't want Laverkan representative as, like, commercial businesses, but this is a high product, high sign. It's also a $400,000 investment, okay? Not a, if every Laverkan business can pull up $400,000, that's why I don't see that becoming an issue, if I'm just being honest. We're probably the only people that could put that. I talk with a lot of business owners. Also, we can boost the other businesses because this sign is going to come where we will offer to advertise River Rock and the local businesses across that. As far as the business community goes, I only see that as a positive. Also, you have to think about our local area. Right next to us is a new hotel that built because we now exist. Across the street's River Cross. Across the street's a spa. We were originally going to do a spa, but then we talked to the local spa owners, and we found out if we open a spa, a lot of people lose their business, including the spa right across the street. So instead, we partnered with them, and you can book with them, and we boosted their business by 10. Our goal is just to be an active helper to Laverkan to drive so that you guys get active tax dollars. So if this video screen's not the right effect, but you have to understand, to us, it's going to make it a better town, not a worse. We wouldn't do something that we truly thought was unattractive. We're putting in a lot of money to make this sign attractive, appealing, and, for better words, great for the whole community. So.
Okay, thanks. Darren, do you have a comment?
So what makes it that we need to give it a permitted use?
I mean, why does it come to you as a conditional use?
Right, the conditional. I mean, why doesn't it just qualify under our...
To be honest with you, I really don't know. There's a lot of code in there that I don't understand. Because all of our code now is pretty much permitted, right? It's either permitted or it's not permitted. You know, it's not permitted. This is one of the only signs in there that actually doesn't give any criteria into why they did that. I don't know.
I'm just trying to figure out. Like,
yeah, I'm not sure either, but as Derek kind of alluded to, it used to be that every zone had a list of permitted uses and conditional uses. And then cities and towns would use those conditional uses to impose all kinds of restrictions and things on people when they came in. The state legislature didn't like that, so they said if someone is proposing a conditional use and there's any way to mitigate the use through reasonable steps, the city is obliged to grant the conditional use with those steps. And so a lot of cities then have taken out of the ordinance any conditional uses, and it's either permitted uses or not permitted.
And
that's why this sounds like it's just a holdover.
Yeah, that's what
I'm not sure why.
Kevin, actually, so we were all conditional leases back when I started. And it might have been when you, in your early years on the council, may have been conditional leases. I don't know.
But when Kevin started for us, he took all the conditional uses out and went to permitted uses. But there are a lot of provisions in the code that still refer back to conditional uses that have just never been updated or taken out of the code. That might be why this is still where it's at right now.
Probably the first time that we've had a sign like this come to us, and well, so that's the reason it hasn't been.
Well, that's, you say, you know, in 10 plus years, it's the first time we have to decide whether we're going to give a conditional use for a sign. I personally think it's a, an appealing sign. I like the aesthetics of it. If it was right on State Street with that size, I'd be a little more, but having it be off, I mean, all of us, I'll be passing that sign every single day.
Yeah.
Going to work, coming home at night. But, you know, I think just from our perspective, we've never had a sign like this before, right? So that's why we're discussing it and just want to make sure, because it's a step.
We had a lot of discussion to it too, because, like I said, it's a $400,000 investment for us. So I've already had back and forth with all the experts on it. So, you know, and it's interesting to go digital. It's interesting to go video, because for a long time stagnant was the way to go, right? But we just met with an expert that did study. Literally, people were driving around with things on their heads, and whenever they'd see a video sign, they were captivated to visit that. A stagnant sign, they almost had negative opinions on negative feelings vibes. Most people have a positive reaction to video. They see it as higher class, upscale. That's the kind of experience I want to go to and the kind of town I want to be in. So,
and I can see the need. It's from the highway or even from the parking lot. You have no idea what you have there.
So
I
mean, most people come in and think we're a really nice medical center. Like, but we've actually had someone come in thinking we were an emergency room. I don't know how, but the fact matters, the hot springs sit way down in the canyon. The only way to see them is from the bridge. You have no clue what the property offers. And that's why we're solving it with the video screen. We didn't ever think, I mean, honestly, if we would have originally built this in the $60 million budget, we would have done it. But we have learned, as one does, that we weren't as smart as we thought we were, which is all in business. And this is important. And you should know that the hot springs is doing extremely well. It's just what we want to do is capture more of the tourism to the national park and get it less, spend dollars up there and more in the town of Leverkin. And I think hopefully that's everybody's goal on the council. I know that might not always be, but, you know, so.
I think as time goes on, people are going to find out more and more about it, and we're going to see a lot more people stop in and go to the facility.
We're on track for 250,000 visitors this year, but we would like to be in the next 3 to 4 years at 400,000. So,
you know, maybe this is off topic a little bit. I was very concerned with traffic, you know, off of 300 and that. As busy as they've been, being someone who lives just a few blocks away from there, I haven't really been impacted by it other than just trying to get out on State Street. And I don't know that that's inherent just with that. It's just eventually at some point when you die.
My first career was an Idaho State Trooper. Like, that's what I did. And when I saw that intersection, so, like, we'll contribute, and Kyle and I talked about this, whatever it takes to get that.
Well, especially the mayor with the older people, because of the angle that the road comes to the highway.
Yeah,
it's hard to see both directions because
it
doesn't come in perpendicular.
But it was a dangerous before us, but the increased traffic is only going to make it worse. Yeah. So.
Well, I live 5 blocks down, and even before they were here, it was hard to get on State Street.
Yeah.
And I've brought it up to the state. I brought it up to the governor's office, and they just almost refused to do anything with it because. So our studies indicate that we don't need it and all of that. And so,
well, when I met with the UDOT rep, they were like, well, eventually someone's like, you know, that intersection is going to get an accident and then you'll get it approved. But that's sad. But we'll keep pushing that on our end too with our connections.
Yeah, so. And we will as well as a city, because it's I think it's important to us, because, and I think it's really stupid on State's part to wait till somebody has a wreck or gets killed there before they do anything. And that's,
you needed one back with really with River Rock. River Rock draws so much traffic, and then we obviously are drawing much more, but that is already dangerous because of that without the light. So, but now we're getting off topic. So.
the state wanted to wait until they were, the last I heard from when I contacted them, they wanted to wait a year and then do a traffic count. And they'll just go out there for 24 hours and put one of those counters out there.
We need to get everybody
in December.
We need to get everybody in the county to drive back and forth.
Well, December was still a good month for us.
Well, it was good.
It's actually, well, it's interesting because we're opposite because of the hot spring interest. So, like, December was massive for us. April was massive. We're expecting less.
For that road, it's not.
No. Okay. Mm-hmm.
What they'll do, too, is they'll put it up on the highway, and then they'll probably put a counter on our road so they can see the numbers and who's turning in and who's going out. So.
We need to hire somebody to stand there at the counter and just step up and down.
That's all I have, Mayor.
Okay, Darren?
I think my concern, you know, similar to Amanda, does it match the area? And it looks like you put a lot of effort into creating a beautiful sign there, which I really appreciate. And then I was thinking about it. I think the only corridor that we would really affect is that north east area. And so I would just love you to pay special attention that sign is not affecting those people, especially when they start building in those fields right there. I know in my yard, my neighbor has a big light that flashes, it's pretty nice, right? That there's very few lights, but that one light that he turns on the side of his house is just like, So if you could just make sure that's directional north and south and not putting a lot of, what do you call the light that comes off of it?
Projecting?
Yeah, projecting out into that field would be
the glare.
Yeah, the glare. That's all.
Okay. Any other comments?
No, I think I'm fine.
I
would suggest if we're inclined to approve this, that maybe some of your comments be included in the motion as conditions, because I think those are reasonable conditions that we can attach to it.
Extremely, yeah.
Yeah.
Very fair.
Okay. You want to make the motion?
So I would make a motion that we approve the sign as detailed in the. What number is it?
Three.
Number three, the approve of the hot spring sign, and that there is a condition that undue glare is not projected out into the area to the north and east to affect the homeowners in that area. I don't know how you modify it.
Yeah, it's going to be to the east because
it's going to be the east.
The north is
the north east. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the north is not a problem with that angle.
Yes.
I don't know how you quantify that. Is that good enough?
Well, the only word I would worry about is the word undue glare. What's undue glare? Mm-hmm. I would simply say glare, which is unreasonably detrimental to the neighboring property or something like that.
The residential.
Yeah, good examples are parking lot lights when we originally installed them. Marco didn't do them right. And the Stouts, who are now my best friends, you guys probably know, some of it was shining on some of their properties, so we put up a locker to immediately fix it. You know,
okay.
Derek was there when we did it. So
yeah, so to mediate, the same proposal, but to mitigate any excess glare into that northeast.
That makes sense, Nancy?
Golden. Clear.
Okay.
Clear as mud.
That's your motion?
Yes.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Darren?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Amanda?
No.
John?
Yes.
Okay. Next item is a discussion regarding the... Thanks, Ron. A discussion regarding the ultra water efficiency standards. We've looked at these a couple of times. Just my comments on this is that this would only really apply as far as our community for development up on top of the hill. All of the property down below is we require to have secondary irrigation run to the property, to the subdivisions that are here. And the homeowners already get a break on the impact fees because of our secondary irrigation. The reason for the ultra water efficiency standard would give the homeowners on the top of the hill a break because they would be have to adhere to these standards. But I think it would need to be per subdivision up there, because there are, talking with some of the developers that are looking at that property, some of them are saying we would like to do some nicer subdivisions and build some more expensive homes in some of the areas up there. And those kind of homes, I think, would want to have a swimming pool and things like that. And so they wouldn't, you know, they could opt to not do that. But if the others opted to accept this, then they could, and they could get a break on their impact fees. And it's, the way it's written, it's up to the water district to be the policeman on it. And the way they would do that was to be, watch the water use, and then they would have to come to the, if the people are abusing it, then they would.
So is there still going to be an element of the HOA or the that would deal with that enforcement
they,
also?
They would do that, but it'd be up to the water district to follow through on that. And this would be on their plat. And so and if they didn't adhere to it, then I guess the water district could come back to them at some time and say, well, if you're not going to do that, then you have to pay the extra impact fee that you're, that we're given.
How much is that saving?
I think it's, I can't remember how much it was, but it was a fair amount.
A substantial amount.
Yeah.
If they adhere to that, I don't know what the number is.
But who, I guess the question from my mind, who's determining, what's the Water Conservancy looking for from us?
That we approve this, and then it makes it available to the developers that they can.
We approve it, but the developer can decide, okay, I want this.
Yeah, we're not enforcing it. We're giving them the option.
The option, right. To take advantage. Okay.
The only thing that happens is early on in the subdivision process, with the city's help, we identify those subdivisions that want to take advantage of this program. Mm-hmm. We contact the Water Conservancy District, and then when they're developing the plats or notes on the plats, there's agreements that the Water Conservancy District will enter into with the HOA or any of those kinds of entities, and so forth.
That the permits or the impact fees paid for that subdivision,
yeah.
The plats,
yeah.
Okay.
And if we pass this and just put those parameters on it, that it's per subdivision, so that it's not, we're not having individuals all over the place, and that would make it just simpler for us. And the good thing about it is, if they adopt that, that gives us extra connections that we will get from the water district if they go to a 0.39 instead of a 0.59. So.
Mayor, one thing too that we ought to clarify there too is the surplus charge that's going to be handled, because we will, people that violate that and use, whether it's from a water break or whatever reason, they use more water than the water that's permitted, there is a surplus charge that does go to the water district. But it needs to be clarified in there that the city also gets the tier schedule. We're not giving away what rate we will get as a city. We'll still collect ours, but the water district will be above and beyond what we already collect.
It's in addition
and
to
we, I think that needs to be clarified in what we pass, so that we're not giving away the extra money to the water district because they go over the 8,000 water that they're allotted, yes.
And as we all know, that extra surplus charge, people pay attention to it now. it hit a lot of people really hard last summer when we adopted that. And we made some adjustments for them just to so that people would make the adjustments they needed to at their home. And as far as I know, people are have adjusted to it, and we're not getting the complaints like we had before. But there, those that were abusing it, I mean, using more water than they should have been, they stopped.
And so that everybody knows, this just applies to residential properties. If they, right. if the city or the development puts a park in there, which is what they're encouraging people to do, is provide a park that the houses can go to. It's not impacted by
this.
That
doesn't pertain to commercial, right?
Commercial or anything yeah. that city owns or
right. Any.
And the pool arrangements that were in the and the policy itself and the parks and such are. They gave them the ability to, you know, grow so much lawn and that's per development. Is that going to also apply that way?
Yes, that would be. And if they wanted to have a pool, they give us the what how big the pool could be depending on how many people are in that subdivision and
yeah, right.
Even water features and stuff like that.
Yeah, it could be 12 inches deep.
It's pretty specific as to what it requires and what it wouldn't be. So, and I think we're seeing more and more, especially with the way things are going now, that conservation, water conservation is becoming more critical, especially this year. And over time, I think we're going to see more and more desert landscapes and things like that that we. And we're fortunate down here we have a secondary system and we can have green lawns and irrigate our trees and things like that. So, anyway, comment, Darren?
I think it's a good thing.
Like it?
I like it if we do it as by subdivision or development. I think it'll help with affordability but also give freedom if someone wants to have some lawn in a pool, they can buy a lot somewhere if they're not restricted by it. So, that's good.
Amanda, any comment?
No, I think when we've talked about this before, I think it's good for up there, and I think it'll be fine for people up there.
So,
yeah, I like the options. So.
Yeah, and I just think we'll probably put it on the agenda next time to pass it. We just want to make sure that it's going to be per subdivision, and it'll be at the option of the developers if they decide that's the way they want to go. And that way when the people buy the lots, they know exactly what they're getting into. Okay. All right. Next item on the agenda then is consideration and possible action to set a public hearing for June 3rd to amend the fiscal year 2026-2027.
That should be
2025-2026.
It should be.
I was confused with my
budget. We don't want to amend that budget yet. That 2025-2026 budget.
This is just the year-end budget, or year-end budget amendment. And we clean things up. There is what we talked about in that finding that we had that is going to need to be addressed in that. So we just need to establish that we're going to do it on and then set the public hearing and we'll have everything to you next
meeting.
Two weeks, whatever it is.
So we just need a motion to set that public hearing. Somebody would like to make that?
I'll make a motion to set a public hearing for June 3rd, 2026 to amend the fiscal year 2025-2026 budget.
Yes. Have a second?
I'll second that.
Have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
No opposing. So, then the last business item is consideration and possible action to set a public hearing for June 3rd, 2026 to approve the 2.5 COLA compensation for statutory employees, which is the city manager, treasurer, recorder, director of operations, director of recreation, and the police chief. And this is what we agreed as a council that they would all get a 2.5% COLA increase, and then it would be up to the to the department head just to what the other 2.5% would go to the rest of the employees on how that's divvied up. So, but for them, that needs to be a public hearing.
Yeah, it's state law. Anybody, those that are listed, even if it's just a cost of living, we don't have to do it for the other employees, but any of the ones that are in positions that are listed have to be done that way. And so, you know, when the merit increases come, they will have, we'll have to come back to that once those are determined and everything. You'll have to do another public hearing. But this is just the 2.5% that's agreed to go across the board for the statutory employees. It's new code that I think has been in effect for a year now.
Yeah.
So,
anybody like to make the motion to set this public hearing?
I'll make the motion that we set a public hearing for June 3rd, 2026 to approve the 2.5% COLA compensation for the statutory employees as listed.
Okay, do we have a second?
I second.
Motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay. Next, we have Mayor and Council reports. Electronic packets. Is everybody okay with electronic packets and not getting the ones that she brings out to our door?
Yeah, I think it'll stay for a lot of time.
Yep. Any comment?
Okay.
You guys okay with that? Okay. Then we'll go to electronic packets.
Save some trees.
Okay. And the other thing I have is Mike Chandler has contacted us. We talked about having him come and report to the city council with the things that are going on at Ash Creek. And we also mentioned that maybe the council would like to make a tour of the treatment plant now that it's in operational. And he said he would be available on June 17th, which is a Wednesday, and would be our second meeting in June, to do a plant tour for the city council and any others that would like to come with us. If we did that, that's a city council night, so we probably need to do it at maybe 3:30 or 4 so that we could get through the plant and then be back for the 6 o'clock meeting. It takes a little bit of time to get through, and especially when they're explaining all the processes and things that are going on. And it is quite interesting. I've been through it several times myself, but it's never been operational going through it. So, but now it is, and it'll be interesting to see if there is a smell and if it's too noisy. And Scott called me just before this meeting. He's out of town, and he said that he and his wife walked by it the other day, and he said we couldn't even hear anything going on there, and we couldn't smell anything as they walked by, just walking down to Confluence Park. And so that was the goal when they built the plant, is to incorporate those things in the plant that would mitigate the smell and the noise. And I think they've done a really good job of doing that after going through it the times I have. So.
I know there were a few citizens that live out there on, what was that subdivision out there? Rindridge Party Beach, who it was really, the construction was just super hard on them. I haven't heard anything from them. Have you, Jerry?
No, I haven't.
So that's good.
I think as time goes on, people won't even know it's there other than it's a building. And I think of just, and they've done a really good job of building it, and it looks nice and will be nice when they finish all the landscaping. I don't know if they've done that. I haven't been down there for a while. So anyway, would you be available, John and Amanda?
I've been through once. I'd like to see it now that it's a little bit further along. I've gone down, and every day there's a little bit more cleanup done. It looks a little nicer, and I'd love to go down again.
Is that work in your schedule?
I think so. I'll have to check my work schedule because it's during the work day, so I'll have to check, see if I can take off. But more than likely, it should be fine. Although I am sending you into the building first to see if it smells, and then you can report back.
Are you okay with that, Micah? Mm-hmm. Darren? Okay. We'll probably schedule at 3:30, 4 o'clock, so that we can get through and see to our meeting. So, that's all I have. Bailey?
Anything? I don't have anything.
John?
On zoning, we continue to work through the new changes in zones, and they're really kind of cleaning up a lot of stuff. And by the time it gets to you, usually we voted on what they've done early on in the session, so it doesn't really work repeating, each individual piece that they work on. On the mosquito abatement, they went through basically their audit. It was pretty interesting. There are no, they haven't been digging for any, bad practices, or they haven't found any, mishandled monies or policies. And we did take a tour of the lab afterward. It was pretty interesting. A lot of equipment that they've modified, things like leaf blowers are used as foggers, and they've developed their own traps that, with the carbon dioxide bottles, and they 3D print some of their traps. It's pretty interesting stuff. So it was fun to go through there.
The thing that's amazing to me is that the mosquitoes kill more people in the world every year than anything.
Yeah, they're the number one killer of people.
Next to humans. So, Amanda, do you have anything?
I don't think I'm mad scientist lab. I love it. No, nothing really. We'll meet with the solid waste next month, and then nothing from historical. So.
Okay. Okay.
Just for Mary, and I have these flyers if you want me to text them to you, but she's doing quite a bit to prepare for the America 250 celebration this summer. So it'll start on July 3rd, which will be an America 250 block party. It'll be a concert, the ballot inauguration, food trucks. And then we'll have the festivities the next day for the 4th of July, like we have done. But at 6 p.m. on, I think it's Friday night, the 3rd, is when things will start. Starting earlier than that, on Flag Day, which is June 14th, running through that date, if you walk from here out to the city offices, there'll be some signs posted up with some QR codes where you can scan it and get information about. They're calling it the America 250 Timeline Walk. So enjoy a stroll through the Birkin and 250 years of American history. So that will run for about 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. And she just asked me to, if you can be thinking to let her know if you're available to be on the city float on the morning of the 4th. The parade starts at 8, and we need to be there at 7:30 for the lineup. And also, if any of us are available to help by serving cake and ice cream at the park after, at the end of the parade, as we end up down there at Lawless Park. And then we have new youth council. There's 18 regular youth council members and 9 junior youth council. So. She's doing an amazing job with that. There's quite a bit of involvement and excitement. And at least, I'm trying to think tonight, at least 2 of those recipients of the scholarships were members of the youth council. It's fun to see. We've got some great youth involvement and youth here in our community. So that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Mike,
yeah.
Have they tested the bell yet?
Yes. I need to ask her, yes, and she was a little, she wasn't happy with something.
It sets up too high, but she has tested it, things that
they need to drop it down
so you can see it.
Okay,
a little different angle.
Yeah, she wasn't happy with how it was sitting. She just told me that.
Did he not get it lowered already?
I think he's in the process.
I know he's been working on it.
So I've seen it. It was down in the basement. A couple of weeks ago when I saw it. So they do have it up.
Yeah, I saw when they were putting it up.
Okay, so it just needs to be lowered. But yeah, she's she's doing a great job with it. I'm excited for what we have coming.
John and former councilwoman Patty Wise and I went to the Design Regional Collaborative meeting. We got a report from each of the organizations on things that they were doing in their different areas of responsibility. We talked a lot about trails. We talked a lot about the Zion Corridor Trail. John, you ended up finishing up. Was there any additional information that came after I left it?
No, a lot of it is the trail going up through the river, or mm-hmm. eventually on Design, and trying to figure out how it's going to come in. There was a lot of discussion on the Sheep Bridge project, and I know they should be working soon on the underpasses, and then they expect to pave it by the end of the summer.
Right.
I'm trying to think of what else.
Which portion are they going to pave?
The entire road.
Mm-hmm. From right now it's paved to the bridge, and it'll go from the bridge all the way to the highway.
Wow. Is anything brought up about not letting the buses and RVs go through the tunnel?
Yes. I think that's supposed to stop in June.
June 7th is the date.
And they've really got it ahead of it, but I don't know if last minute they'll allow some traffic if things aren't completed. But I would think pretty much that there's also some discussion about limiting the dispersed camping, and they're talking about two central campgrounds, one up on Gooseberry and one down below. But they won't. There's an appeals process and a... right now, there's been some people that are challenging their ability to end the dispersed camping, so I don't know where that's going to go. We might hear a little bit more in the next meeting.
Okay. And then John, Patty, and I went to a trails meeting with a whole bunch of different organizations to talk about how we maintain our trails and keep them going. We took a good look at the Rim to River Trail in it. They had some suggestions on how to avoid some of the problems we're having with water deteriorating the trail quickly. And the builders of the trail were there and gave us a proposal to put some more steps in there and make it not so steep so that people wouldn't fall. And then put they have a machine that they can tear up that top part of that soil and put cement in it and make it a hard surface. And so they gave us a proposal over that to Kyle. The other item that I had was I met with Commissioner Iverson and James Marvin, a resident here in town, came over to the county to talk to us about that trail from Confluence up to the Potempi Trail. And he had made a suggestion that we keep shooting for the 5 bridges and the $11 million, but in the meantime, that we build a hard dirt trail and get some bridges in there that are more just pass bridges, like a swinging type bridge that are much, much, much cheaper, and just make it so we can use the trail. I thought that was a really good idea. I'd like to pursue that on making that available the public with just a hard dirt trail that if, maybe put some good signage that there's times when it will be flooding and to be very careful, but it would be fun to use that trail before we get 5 bridges built, because that might be, we all might be dead by then. So that's all I have.
Kyle?
Juan's park bathrooms are ready to go with the exception, I think everything's ready, but we'll wait to get the cameras installed there. As you know, they were not even quite finished, and we had some vandalism on, but we're top priority for the camera installs that you guys have already approved is to put the cameras up there and make it so that we can look at that. Just got a guy that called me, and I'll bring a proposal to you probably in the budget amendment about the possibility of the city doing a billboard out on I-15, saying America 250, that thing, and making a little advertising. You can pay that fee on there up to, I think, 4 weeks, might even be weekly. I have no idea. He's going to send me how much it would cost to do it. that you said.
That's it. Okay. Brings us to the next item, that's citizen comments. This is no action to be taken on any comments tonight, but anybody would like to make a comment, we got 20 minutes to give you 3 minutes each, so no comments?
I'm not a resident, I'm just here visiting, but I'd like to say something. It's okay.
Well, it's for citizens, so if you're not a resident, so. We're going to adjourn.
You can come and talk to this right
now. Wait a minute, you want to comment?
Yeah, I do. So you guys are talking about this, you talk about the spa and the billboard. One, how is that like going to be measured?
How is that going to be measured?
Knowing the fact that, have any of you ever been to Las Vegas? You ever seen any of those billboards on wheels and how bright that they are? You're forgetting that video pixels are different than standing still pixels. So the amount of ray of light that it's going to put off is going to be quite a bit. So now that, I don't know if you've already proved it, but what I'm saying is that for the field next door...
The comments on tonight are the ones not on the agenda, and that was on the agenda, so that's not something to comment on.
Let's talk about after.
Okay.
Yeah, that we can do. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. I should have explained that a little before you stood up. So.
I misunderstood.
Yeah, no, it was my fault. So, anyway, we're going to adjourn.
Why don't you come up here?
God, I'm disappointed. Who bought that?
So, yeah.